This argument is entirely sound. We submit to the consideration of any candid mind that it would be far better to allow men to follow their honest occupations on Sunday as they do on other days of the week, than to compel them to be idle, and thus forcibly throw them into the way of all the temptations and evil that beset men in this world. No state, therefore, can ever afford for its own good to enact laws making idleness compulsory, as Sunday laws do. More than this, to prohibit men from following their honest occupations at any time, under penalties of fine or imprisonment or perhaps both, is for the state to relegate honest occupations to the realm of crime and put a premium upon idleness and recklessness. It is well known that in many localities if a man will only be idle on Sunday, he can run into all sorts of dissipation and wickedness to any extent, except that of downright violence, without any fear of prosecution or penalty of any kind. But if any quiet industrious citizen chooses to engage in his honest occupation, going quietly about his own business on his own premises on Sunday, he is subjected to prosecution, to a penalty of a heavy fine, and perhaps imprisonment. This is nothing else than to put a premium upon wickedness. No state can afford to make crimes of honest occupations. No state can afford to put such a premium upon idleness and all its attendant wickedness. All these complaints of evil and violence and wickedness on Sunday, so enlarged upon by the people who are working for Sunday laws, is an open confession that wickedness is the effect of enforced idleness, and this in itself is the strongest argument that can be offered against the very things for which they plead. The states of the Union have all these years been sowing the wind in this very thing, and now they are reaping the whirlwind. And worse than all, they propose to cure the evils of all this enforced idleness by more stringently enforcing more idleness throughout the whole nation and by the national power. It may be answered that this reflects upon the wisdom of God in appointing a day of rest. But it does not. God appointed the Sabbath for a purpose, and that purpose is that men should remember Him in His works of creation and worship Him as Creator. The intention of the commandment enjoining the observance of the Sabbath day is the honor of God, and His worship as Creator. This worship and the religious sanctions which God has associated with the Sabbath are considerations which will ever prevent the day from becoming a day of idleness of those who keep the Sabbath in obedience to Him, and the worship of God and the religious sanctions which He has put upon the Sabbath are the only things that ever can prevent the Sabbath from becoming a day of idleness. Those who advocate the Sunday bill will know this. This whole principle is embodied in that statement Dr. Crafts made to the Knights of Labor, that, if you take religion out of the day, you take the rest out. The same principle is also apparent in the words of Joseph Cook before referred to, that you will in vain endeavor to secure the enforcement of a day of rest unless you enforce it as a day of worship, and unless it be founded on religious reasons, it cannot be long maintained. Thus these men themselves confess the point which I here make, that it is only the religious sanctions and worship that can ever keep a day of rest from being a day of idleness and of consequent wickedness. But it is only God who can furnish those sanctions. The state never can. Therefore, the next step in the proceeding on the part of those who are calling for this law is to have the state attempt to supply the religious sanctions which belong with a day of rest, and which only can keep it from being a day of idleness and a day of evil. But they know that the state has none of those religious sanctions, and they know that these will have to be supplied to the state by the church, and then the church will call upon the state, by its power, to force them upon the citizen. This is precisely what is proposed. Reverend Sam Small, in a sermon in Kansas City last winter, expressed the views of many more than himself, when he said, quote, "I want to see the day come when the church shall be the arbiter of all legislation, state, national, and municipal, when the great churches of the country can come together harmoniously, and issue their edict, and the legislative powers will respect it, and enact it into laws." End quote. But any attempt to enforce religious observances only enforces hypocrisy and multiplies sin, because love for God is essential to every act of religious duty. For a man to tender obedience or homage to God when he has no love for God in his heart, only dishonors God, and does violence to his own nature. For anybody to obey God, or perform religious observances from interested motives, is sin, and for the state to exert its power in compelling men to act religiously and pretend to honor God when they have in their heart no love for God, is only to force them into hypocrisy and to compel them to commit sin, which if increased and multiplied by the exertion of national power, can end only in ruin, and that speedily. For as Mr. Buckle has most forcibly expressed it, quote, "In this way, men being constrained to mask their thoughts, there arises a habit of securing safety by falsehood, and of purchasing impunity with deceit. In this way, fraud becomes a necessity of life. Insincerity is made a daily custom, the whole tone of public feeling is vitiated, and the gross amount of vice and of error fearfully increased." End quote. Consequently, it is only at its own peril that the state can ever enforce the observance of a day of rest. More than this, for the state to allow itself to be dictated to by the church as is here proposed by Mr. Small, is to render the church superior to the civil power, which can end in nothing but a religious despotism, which is the worst of all despotisms. Thus, by every line of reasoning that can spring from the subject, it is demonstrated that for the state to fix a day of compulsory rest can only end in evil. Therefore, my proposition is proved, that Sunday laws are not for the good of anybody. Further, as it is only the religious sanctions which surround a day of rest that can prevent it from being a day of idleness and consequently of evil, and as God only can supply these sanctions, it follows that to God only can Sabbath observance be rendered. He only can command it. He only can secure it. And being a duty which can be rendered only to God, we are brought again directly to the command of Jesus Christ, to render unto God, not to Caesar, that which is God's, which clearly forbids the state to have anything to do with Sabbath observance. This whole line of argument is fully sustained by the Sabbath commandment itself. That commandment says, quote, "Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor, and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it." End quote. Here are the reasons. First, he rested on the seventh day. Second, he blessed it and made it holy. "That you may not become tired" is not given as a reason for doing no work on the seventh day. God does not say that on the seventh day you shall do no work, because if you should, you would overdo or break down your physical system. Nothing of the kind. Man's physical wants are not referred to in the commandment. It says, "Work 6 days, because the Lord worked 6 days. Rest on the seventh day, because the Lord rested on the seventh day. Keep that day holy, because the Lord blessed it and made it holy." It is the Lord who is to be held in view. It is the Lord who is to be exalted. Therefore, the fourth commandment and its obligations have solely to do with man's relationship to God. It is not man's physical, but his spiritual needs that are held in view in the Sabbath commandment. It is intended to be a day in which to worship God, a day of holy remembrance of Him, and of meditation upon His works. The day is to be kept holy. If it is not kept holy, it is not kept at all. When the state undertakes to demand the observance of the Sabbath or Lord's Day, it demands of man that which does not belong to it, but which belongs only to God. When the state undertakes to secure the observance of the Sabbath, it undertakes that which to it is an impossible task, because holiness is not an attribute of civil government, nor has it either the power or the credentials to promote holiness. And as has been already demonstrated, all that it ever can do in any such effort is to enforce idleness, and put a premium upon recklessness, which for its own welfare, the state can never afford to do. If the state undertakes to supply from whatever source, the religious sanctions, which alone can keep the day from being one of idleness, generating evil, it only enforces hypocrisy, and increases sin. Therefore I repeat, that by every logical consideration of the subject, I have sustained my proposition that Sunday laws are not for the good of anybody or anything in this world.